Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Yeah, there's always just a little bit of trepidation when that music doesn't kick in right away, but it was okay. All right, it's the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up there this morning, so swing on over there and check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you know to hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. And you know, if you could like that while you're over there, I mean, why not? You went all the way over there. Go ahead and give it a like. That would be great. Don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed that you can follow along with, which, of course, is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan. Well, I am varying degrees of upset with Major League Baseball. You know, last night the Dodgers and the Astros started an incredibly short two-game series. The Dodgers took game one 5-2, and to no one's surprise at all, there were some pitches that went inside at the Astros over the top of their head, and Joe Kelly launched one behind them. Well, the jackasses at Major League Baseball have decided that Joe Kelly will get an 8-game suspension. Dave Roberts gets one. So all this basically told me, Dan, is it is fantastic for you to go out and cheat to win a World Series, but if somebody tries to get revenge or retribution on you, they're going to get punished. And this is probably the stupidest thing baseball could have done. You've got to let this play out, because if I'm a Dodger pitcher tonight, I ain't missing an Astro. You're going to suspend me? I'm hitting somebody. Sorry.
Well, yeah, and they used it as – and I didn't even read the article. I read enough to know that, oh, on past instances, he's hit people or whatever the headline was.
So what?
I'm like, yeah, that's enough for me not to read it. So,
you knew somebody was going to get thrown, that.
Yeah, well, you know, and here's the other side of it. Now – you're going to follow a legal process? I mean,
right.
That's essentially what you did. You followed a legal process. You based it on prior offenses, so to speak. Where was there just no precedent for cheaters? I kind of think there is. I kind of think the whole Shoeless Joe Jackson kind of... Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Was that not considered cheating what he did back then?
Well, that was the entire team, and look what did to them. You know, all the players that were involved in that cheating scandal were suspended, and Jackson was just kind of the odd guy out because there are a lot of people who are convinced that he didn't know what he was doing. He was just kind of a slow country boy who was a great baseball player, and, you know, he didn't even sign his name. He put an X. So, you know, it depends who you listen to.
Yeah, well, you know, and you kind of see why now, even, like, post the whole drama, why I still think it's complete load of crap how all they did, the only repercussion was the managers for a year.
Yeah, and the general manager.
Like, yeah, and the general, you know, whatever. You know, what you did to them is insignificant. It means basically nothing. All you're saying is that, you know, and to kind of go legal and to go extreme, that the Astros all went out and committed murder together and robbery. They were all involved in the process. And of course we can't prove who exactly knew and who didn't, But what you're saying is that they all were included, but only one guy's getting a slap on the wrist. He's not even getting a real punishment. I'm sorry,
right.
But you know, for the level of to not only cheat, but to just take away the integrity of the game, and all he gets is 1 year off. I mean, you know, people were more pissed about Ron Washington using coke or testing positive.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
You know,
like,
I mean,
there's a bigger deal about that than cheating in the World Series. And Ron was a manager.
They stole the World Series title, and, you know, now I'm not saying you should have handed it to the Dodgers or any of that crap, but it should have been vacated. It really should be like two of the last three World Series winners don't exist. You know, the Astros should have been wiped out and the Red Sox should have been wiped. Those years should be vacant, and it should, you know, be no World Series winner due to cheating. Because neither of those teams deserve those titles, but you damn well know they're flying the banner in Houston and Boston. So, you know, it's like, great, you gave the players immunity. You know, at first I thought it was a good idea. Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's find out what's going on. But now to use it like this and basically turn it and dump it all on Joe Kelly, he got suspended for more games for throwing behind a guy than any Astro player did for cheating to win a World Series. The pinnacle of your sport. And you give a guy, you know, that was the weird thing, Dan. Nobody got hit last night. You know, sure, like I said, there were some inside pitches. There was the one over the head, and Kelly threw the one behind him. There were no hit Astros.
Well, and did you happen to watch? I was actually.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Let you finish, and then I'll.
I said basically he got suspended on intent, which you can't prove.
Pretty much, and, you know, I don't know if I doubt you were watching, I was going to say, because I think that was pretty late when it happened. I was actually working late watching it. You know, I saw it. So he threw behind him, and I forget who was in the booth. Was it Earl Hershiser? You know, going, you know, in this situation, Joe Kelly should do nothing. He should not acknowledge that it happened. He shouldn't, you know, wave a hand to apologize. But, you know, the way you look at it, like you said, he didn't get hit. Nobody got hit. And nothing more would have been made of it if Carlos Correa didn't keep running his mouth.
Yeah.
You know, he told Joe Kelly to get your MF and ass back on the mound or something like that. And we all heard it. Like, you know, there's no crowd. The music, the sound that's piped in, you hear everything now. You know, I've heard managers say that they don't even use the bullpen phone because they just stand on the top step and go, "Hey, get so-and-so ready." You know, I mean, well, of course, in Arizona, you have to because it's on the other side of the stadium. It looks like I'm not giving play-by-play, so you can't see me. but, you know, I heard it. I heard him yell that, and Joe Kelly just looked back at him. He didn't say anything. He didn't do anything. And then as they're walking off the field, the Astros dugouts are the ones throwing words out there. And Joe Kelly just looked back and gave a stupid look, which was hilarious, especially if you've seen some of the memes this morning. But if you're following us on Sports Time Radio or on Twitter, I just tweeted out a picture of a hat I thought was hilarious that I found last night. No, Big Jack, I'm not buying it. The guy spent charging like $110 for it. But it has the Astros logo on it and the words "cheat" across the front of the hat. So it's hilarious. Even if I was an Astro fan, I would probably still buy it because it's pretty awesome. But $110 because they etched some guy's name on the side, no, it's not worth it to me. So, I mean,
well, you know,
when you look at all that.
And I need you to answer me this question while you're talking about all this. What kind of suspension does Michael Brantley get for stepping on Joe Kelly running down to first base? Or are they just going to say that it was part of the game?
Oh, that's right. That was Michael Brantley who told him to get his MF and butt back on the mound. You know, I mean, I'm assuming the FCC is lax on stuff like this right now. But you're right. You know, how come nothing, you know, there's been guys who've gotten in trouble for foul language. So it was clear as day.
I mean,
I'm sure if you went back and watched the replay.
He intentionally stepped on Kelly's foot and ankle while he was running to first base. And now remember, just a couple years ago, they killed Manny Machado for doing this. You know, I mean, he was the worst person in the world when he stepped on somebody that, you know, everybody decided it was intentional and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, where's the Michael Brantley deal here? You know, nothing happens to him for stepping on a guy?
No, and I can see why you're upset, because it's everyone else is going to get in trouble, despite the source of the problem being the Astros right now.
And obviously, that's going to be the big deal here, is it's going to be like, oh, okay, well, they're innocent, or they paid their penance. And, technically they did, but you and I damn well know now that it wasn't the right one. You know, baseball screwed this up. They dropped the ball, and, so now this is where we are, and luckily the Astros don't have to play the Yankees, because, the Yankees would be in on this too, because not only did they beat the Yankees in the ALCS, but Altuve got the MVP over Aaron Judge. So you got to kind of wonder how much of that was involved with them cheating.
Well, and that's the funny thing is the Dodgers team was talking yesterday about how lucky the Astros were or are because they missed out on let me count on my hands real quick, Big J. 4 or 5 months of talk of being barred with the same question everywhere you go. You know, they brought up the fact that down in Florida, everywhere the Astros went, and this wasn't just last night, this was over the last couple nights, how everywhere they were in Florida, they were just getting booed, and people were loving it. And that there was not a team in Major League Baseball that was going, or no, no, I'm sorry, in the spring training, that nobody put sign restrictions. Meaning, you know, if you put together a sign, they weren't really going to stop you from it. I'm sure if there was certain words they wouldn't allow, but, you know, they said that that was kind of the census across the league. So, you know, that the Astros were really lucky in this situation that COVID happened because of what they don't have to deal with now. Otherwise, they'd have to see this every single game that they're not in Houston.
Yeah, as odd as it is, the Astros are lucky that we're not having fans at the game, and that, it's a shortened, 660 game schedule. And it's weird to say that, because you think, yeah, right, okay, that's stupid. But, yeah, like Dan said, I mean, they would be getting killed everywhere they went if there were fans in the stands. No matter who they played, even if it was a team like, the Marlins or the Royals or the Pirates that, weren't even part of the playoffs, or even contending for the playoffs, you damn well know their fans would still be killing them, and they deserve it. They're cheaters. They cheated the game of baseball.
Well, and, and here's the kind of a fun part about baseball. If you remember the Hunter Pence signs a few years back, it took off. And, I mean, Hunter Pence would look at them, read them, and either laugh or like he did to me, and just turn around and shake his head.
Flip you off? Oh.
No, he didn't flip me off. He didn't even – I was like, come on, man, throw a ball at me. I don't know. Not throw it at me, but, like, throw it at me because I'm holding a dumb sign about you. Or like you said, flick me off or blow a kiss. I don't know. I didn't really get a reaction out of him, but I've seen reactions out of him. And – you know, that was like a fun thing. You know, people were having a good time with that, and that took off. Can you imagine what it would have been like, let's just say, the season open? It did open with the Dodgers and Astros, right, or no? Dodgers and Giants. But, you know, let's just say it opened with the Dodgers and Giants or Yankees and Astros and whatever. And, you know, game one, you show up and you see all these signs, or you're sitting at home and you're like, oh, man, I got a game. I'm going to an Astros game, you know, versus my team in 2 months or whatever. I'm going to get my sign ready now, you know. And it would have took off. It would have been huge. It would have been like I don't know if it would have been like WWE Attitude Era, but I think it would have taken off.
You got to remember, those WWE signs, a lot of them are handed out, so that doesn't really count. But, it would have been basically a game of one-upsmanship. You know, who can do it better? But, you know, so like I said, and I know Joe Kelly did appeal, so, you know, I'm sure the suspension will come down. But, you know, the other odd thing here, Dan, is I don't even know if anybody realized it, but he was basically suspended for a third of the season, or what? Not a third of the season, let's see, sixth of the season, being that, you know, he almost got 10 games and the Dodgers are already so many games in. He, you know, if he was to sit out 8 games, and now he's a reliever. You know, when they do this to starters, it's always a joke because it's like, yeah, he's going to miss one start. Whoopee.
Yeah.
You know, and then the guy appeals, he makes his start, and then he sits, you know, he drops the appeal and he sits out. So, you know, he misses his one start. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Kelly, you know, I remember this is a guy who pitched in 7 consecutive World Series games to, I think, tie or set a record. He can pitch every day. Yeah, so, you know, you're taking 8 games away from him and, you know, basically a team that's one of the best in baseball, you know, and you can't sell me that this was the right thing to do. You know, I'm not buying it. Baseball had to know this was going to happen. I won't be shocked if it happens again tonight. You know, and again, if I'm a Dodger, it should. You know, especially if I got a blowout on my hands. You know, either way, if they're blowing us out or we're blowing them, I'm dusting somebody off if I've got the gun to do it. You know, get in the batter's box and take your medicine. You guys deserve it. You know, there's absolutely nothing an Astro player can say to defend this. Now, you know, again, I don't condone headhunting. I don't want to see anybody get hit in the head. But, you know, if you take one in the rear end, I don't have a problem with that. And I don't care if it's a 100-mile-an-hour guy. You know, take it in the ass and go to first base. Sorry, you did it to yourselves. There, you know, there's no one to blame except the guy looking back at you in the mirror, unless you got some kind of weird paranormal, you know, activity going on. So deal with that. But, yeah, it just irritated me when I read that, and I was like, really? I'm like, you know, and, you know, and it's bad enough I'm frustrated with baseball anyways right now, and I'm having – I went from not wanting to watch when they came up with the stupid 60-game schedule to, all right, I'm thinking about it. And then Friday I was excited to see the local teams play, and I think that was Kyle Hendricks' fault because he went out and did something I never expected him to do. You know, and now I'm to the point where I'm on the downward slope here, Dan, and, you know, this just kind of pushed me over the edge to where I don't even give a damn if I turn it on. I mean – talk to me next year when maybe something means something again. I don't want to deal with their stupidity right now. And that's all this is flat out stupidity.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, kind of from my point of view, I kind of was, I don't want to say, I think it's just been so long. And like you said, 60 game season, whoop-de-doo and all that, trying to make it so much more than what it is. But, you know, on the flip side, I'm like, well, I did pay for this shortened season to watch the baseball on the app. So I've been tuning in, and, you know, at first I was like, Diamondbacks, Rangers, it's not really a game I'd be, you know, itching to watch. But I checked the box. I'm like, oh, Madison's pitching, so, you know, you got to watch that. But, you know, otherwise the 2 afternoon games I might have skipped out on and continued watching Investigation Discovery.
it's just kind of weird. I watched a little of both of the games that were on, you know, this afternoon, but it's not like I'm not sitting there watching every pitch of every inning like I used to, and, you know, just kind of be like, oh, okay, cool, you know, what's going to happen, you know, now. So, you know, that, I got to tell you, you know, I know, like, the announcers aren't traveling to the games when it's on, like, the Mickey Mouse Network, but, God, they really suck. You know, they're like the definition of monotone, and there's like absolutely no excitement in their game call. You know, like today, I think it was Matt Vasgersian and Jessica Mendoza, and they were just legitimately hard to listen to. You know, and they even tried to have some witty banter, and that just fell flat. It was just dumb is the only way I can kind of associate it. So, yeah, that's not helping me either, you know, to watch a game.
You know what makes it hard about that, though, too, is Jessica's in a rare spot where she can't do anything on her own. And I'm not saying this is what, on her own account, this is like, I can't really be myself 100% and kind of go, you know, do her thing, do a baseball thing. Because she's still got to follow what they want so she doesn't lose her job, you know, since Alex isn't around. And Vasgersian, I just feel like this guy just loves to hear himself speak.
So yeah, he's definitely – he does his best to fill the time. The problem is he doesn't fill it interestingly.
No.
You know, and I mean, this would have been the season if the Mickey Mouse Network would have ever decided to do it. They should have done it like the MLB Network does and just use the local guys. You know, they're going to be at the game. That's going to provide a little bit more excitement, even though there aren't fans. You know, at least they're immersed in what's going on. But, I mean, you know, how do I know Vasgersian isn't feeding his cat while he's watching the game? You know, and I'm guessing he has a cat because he looks like that kind of guy. So, you know, I mean, they could be doing – you know, how many other things like you and I do when, you know, you got to let the dogs out while we're in the middle of doing the podcast. You know, I mean, you're at home.
Yeah.
These things are going to happen. So how do we know they're not doing the same thing, except they're on a major network, and at least when you do that, I can make something up and try to pretend we're still going on while they just get flat, and it's like, yeah, well, here's the windup and the pitch, and I think he's going to throw this. No. It was that instead. Like, really? Is anybody awake now? You know, I mean, if you're having problems sleeping, turn that on and you won't have any problems getting to sleep. So, that just, again, I'm having problems watching as it is, and that's not helping me. So... yeah, I said Dan had to let the dog out, and he disappeared.
No, I'm still here.
Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't let the dog out. I found this kind of weird, Dan. I didn't realize players could do this, and I'm sure it's just because I didn't look into it. But I saw that Nick Markakis has now opted back in to the 2020 season. So he's going to rejoin the Braves, after deciding he was going to sit out. Did you know players could do this?
No, I didn't know that about that clause.
So, yeah, I was shocked to hear that a player could do it, and I don't know what, you know, like I don't remember what he stated was his reasoning for sitting out and, whatever he decided to do. But, I was wondering, like, when he made the announcement, I didn't really understand it because, you know, you're looking at a guy who's, you know, he's pushing 40, I think, let me see his age is right here. You know, he's 36, and the only team that expressed any interest in signing him last offseason was the Braves. So sitting out wasn't doing him any favor if he decided he would want to play next year. I honestly doubt he would get a deal from anybody. There's more concerns than just your next contract, but, you know, that's something you have to consider, you know, when you're one of the, you know, one of these guys. And, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, he's had a really nice career. You know, he's, believe it or not, he's been around 14 years. You know, started with the Orioles, came over to the Braves as, you know, a free agent guy. You know, he's put up some numbers. You know, he's a little short of 2,400 career hits, which, you know, now that he's playing, he'll get that. You know, he's a .288 career hitter. You know, he's by no means a Hall of Famer, but, you know, he's won a couple Gold Gloves, and, you know, he made an All-Star appearance. So, you know, he's had a really nice career. And do you think maybe, Dan, he was sitting at home realizing that this could be the end and he didn't want to go out like this?
That's a huge probability. I mean, you know, with him sitting out and was there an injury, I mean, they were already in set to take Yasiel, who's not obviously going to play this season.
So yeah, I'm trying to remember, did somebody come up lame or did they,
I can't think of what it was.
Yeah, they had a need for that extra outfielder. So they reached out to Puig and, you know, I was so happy he got signed. And then unfortunately he got positive for, you know, COVID-19. So he won't be playing this year. I just kind of wonder, you know, and like I mentioned, you know, there weren't people beating on his door to sign him. You know, even though Markakis is a .288 career hitter, I don't believe he had any other offer. So it was go back to Atlanta as like the fourth outfielder or just not play. So, you know, and I can't see his market being any better next year. You know, I mean, if you didn't want a 36-year-old Nick Markakis, why would you want a 37-year-old Nick Markakis? So, he doesn't really fit into the sabermetric version of baseball now. You know, again, like I said, he's a .288 career hitter, but he's not a power hitter. So, you know, his numbers don't really match the way, you know, teams look for guys now. So, I don't know. You know, and again, I don't know what his thought process was. You know, maybe it was something to do with his family, you know, that he decided to, you know, he needed to sit out or, you know, whatever worked. And, I mean, you know, hey, like I said, whatever you needed to do or you wanted to do. I mean, there's, you know, a few guys sitting out. You know, if you start looking at the NFL, you got to start to wonder if they're even going to have a season with all the guys opting out. You know, if not, if you're, you know, young and, you know, a semi-decent football player, your local team may need you because it seems like we've had about 100 guys already opt out, and I know that's not really the truth, but it seemed like it. I don't know, Dan. I mean, he's coming on. He's late. I get it. They've only played 5 games. Can he even help this team? I mean, they're off to a 2-3 start. They packed off Mike Fulton-Nawith. I heard they did that, Dan, because they want their top prospect, a pitcher by the name of Ian Anderson, to join the rotation. You know, because I know we talked about that a little yesterday, why they made the move. But I don't know, Dan, could he be any kind of difference maker, you know, maybe not at the plate, but in the clubhouse? You know, a veteran leader,
could
something like that?
It could be, but I just how much do you buy that? You know, I get it. You got to have like your quote unquote Undertaker or, you know, guys like that. I always heard that was the big thing with him, was the locker room guy. And if you rubbed him the wrong way, you were gone. You know, you definitely need that veteran experience, but I don't know. I mean, it's the Cubs went for that, and that did nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that whole locker room leader type thing really applies a whole lot in the game today. And that goes kind of across all sports. I mean, you definitely have your leaders, but and you definitely have instances where guys had enough of a player and they want to leave the team, Zach Greinke and Yasiel Puig, who we were talking about. So it's, you know, how much of a difference does that make? You know, you've always brought up that a manager has a game difference of like 10, you know, be it wins or losses. How much does that really come into play, especially with sabermetrics, a locker room leader?
Yeah, I wonder,
you know,
is,
not
there
only that,
is there a stat for that?
No, I don't think so. Not only that, but you talk about a locker room leader, and I'm not knocking any of the older managers. I don't know their style and how much they reach out. I mean, obviously, it wasn't really working so great over the last couple of years with Joe Madden here. But, you know, what I've noticed, these younger managers, you know, be it late 30s, mid 40s, that if they've been in the game long enough, wouldn't you consider them the locker room leader? You know what I mean? I wouldn't expect a guy like that who's been, you know, as opposed to maybe Joe or even Dusty, I wouldn't expect a guy like up in Minnesota to just game on, game over, you know, he's in the office. You know, I would think that they're in the locker room a little bit more, but, you know, with COVID and everything, I don't know how that's affecting it anyways, because everyone's supposed to be 6 feet away, so I can imagine the locker room is, while you're comfortable, it's still uncomfortable.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, you kind of wonder, you need that person, I guess, you can go to who's not management.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I can kind of see that, but yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, I think they give it way too much credit than what it really deserves. You know, because like in most cases, you know, it's a veteran guy hanging around hoping to win a title who doesn't really, you know, contribute much to the team. But, you know, so the best thing they can say about him is, well, you know, he's a real leader in the locker room.
And then it's Barry Bonds. No.
Yeah. Oh. You know, that's just kind of, you know, kind of how it worked out, but you know, I guess we'll see. And like I said, I didn't even realize you could opt back in. You know, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, cool. So I guess if you opted out and you're on a team that's contending, you can come back for the stretch run, right?
Yeah. I don't know what rules they have against that.
Yeah, just kind of odd. So, but we do have a couple live games going on. We've got the Mickey Mouse game was the Rockies and the A's, and the Rockies are currently leading 3-1 in the bottom of the A's. And Dan mentioned that Madison Bumgarner got his first start for his new team, the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're down right now 2-0 to the Texas Rangers in the bottom of the sixth. So those are the live games for you. But Dan, I got kind of what I thought was a humorous story. You know, for our money league this year, for the first time ever, Mr. Fantasy decided to purchase, you know, one of those
insurance.
You know, he purchased an online website to help us with the draft. And what you do is you go into this site. It's actually rotowire.com, which is a pretty famous fantasy site. And you go in and you put in your league stats. you know, what staff your league uses, and it goes through and actually ranks the players and gives you an order based on what your league stats are. So, you know, we use this to help us do our draft. And then I noticed just kind of putzing around the site that they do a daily, you know, for FanDuel. You know, FanDuel, DraftKings, Yahoo, whoever's got a daily whatever, they generate lineups. They call what they have a lineup optimizer for each daily fantasy site. So I figured since FanDuel gave us that $10, you know, I might as well spend it. So yeah. I was playing those nickel games, you know, because I don't like, you know how I am. I don't like to spend a lot of money on these things. So I was playing the nickel one and I started playing the quarter one the other night. So I thought, well, this makes great sense. I'll use this world famous RotoWire website to build my daily fantasy lineup, and I'll win a crap ton of money. Well, Dan, I've had 6 lineups put in, and I've won exactly diddly squat. So I'm starting to wonder how world famous this website is, because, I mean, like, they're producing me lineups that are barely scoring 100 points. So I don't know if they're just taking people's money and they're living off their reputation, or if somebody actually wins off these sites, because I'm not.
Yeah, I've always been interested in them, but they just look so detailed. I'm not sure, and that I want to spend the money.
Yeah, well, that's my thing. I would never spend the money on it. He just decided that with the limited amount of time he had to do research, we needed the help. So, you know, he went out. not like I wasn't ready to go, but, you know, hey, it's his money. I'll let him spend it how he wants to. But, you know, I mean, you know, RotoWire has been one of the top fantasy sites for, you know, years. They're one of the first ones I ever remember. And, like, luckily for this one, it's not super complicated. You know, you literally just click on Daily Fantasy, what site you use, and then what game you're playing, you know, because FanDuel has a bunch of, you know, all day, main, late night, evening, you know, they've got a bunch of different games. Oh, excuse me. You know, and then you click optimize lineup, and it kicks you out an optimized lineup. So, yeah, I've used 6 RotoWire optimized lineups, and I've won nothing. But interestingly, Dan, the other site I had been using previously was a site called numberfire.com. So I put in a second lineup yesterday using their lineup, and I ended up winning. I won 50 cents on the 25 I bet. So I doubled my money. But, yeah, the first time I used NumberFire, I won. While I'm pumping out these RotoWire lineups and I haven't won squat. So, you know, and the difference being NumberFire doesn't give you a lineup. They give you daily projections. And you have to figure out how to put the guys into your lineup. So, that always makes it, a little more interesting because you're a little more involved. Instead of just, you know, hey, okay, well, this is who RotoWire tells me to pick, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, it's just it's really weird to see a site like that not produce. Because, like I said, they're one of the more famous fantasy sites out there.
Do you think it's kind of difficult right now for, you know, they're – I mean, I did like 3 or 4 games over the weekend, and I picked guys that I think normally would have hit and, you know, got me some points. And I wasn't looking to take first prize, but, I mean, even in the 50-50s, I wasn't even getting in the top 50, which normally I don't even have an issue getting in the top 50 and at least winning my, you know, winning my dollar back or 20 cents on that dollar. Do you think that plays into it, the short amount of time and the players not being ready yet?
Yeah, you know, that obviously is going to be an issue, you know, and this is the type of year where, you know, you're going to get those weird, you know, anomalies. I mean, things are going to happen that you just can't believe happen. I mean, like, if you would have told me that opening day for the Cubs, Kyle Hendricks is going to go out and pitch a complete game shutout, I don't think anybody would have believed you.
No.
You know, I think there were more people willing to bet that he was only going to give them about 4 or 5 innings.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was sitting.
Right, you know, that's just the way – and, you know, that's the way we were projected to think. You know, I mean, we had managers coming out, Dave Roberts especially, that he didn't expect starting pitchers to go more than 3 or 4 innings. You know, and there were a lot of managers who were kind of in that boat. Well, you know, we're not sure how many innings a starter can give us. You know, and I mean, you and I had discussed it time and again. I based one of our drafts off the fact that I didn't care about starters. You know, I let starters go and go. I wasn't interested in drafting any, and I'll pick them up later with whoever's name is what, you know, wherever. You know, so, I was drinking the Kool-Aid. You know, and then all of a sudden you got these guys rolling out here. You know, you're getting complete games and 6, 7, 8 inning starts out of guys that just weren't supposed to happen. You know, and then, you know, hitting-wise, you wonder. I mean, I know the Marlins only got to play their opening series. But I don't know how many people had Miguel Rojas hit 700 in it. So, I don't know how many fantasy lineups he was in, but I'm willing to guess not very many. You know, so it's just kind of, it's a weird season, and it's going to be a weird season. There's just, you know, no way around it. I think that's going to have a huge effect on daily fantasy. You know,
well,
but to be fair, Dan, those guys get paid to know this, and they should, right?
Exactly. You know, and that was one of the weird things I came up against, too, is, well, I kind of went with your philosophy a little bit and, like, holding off on starting pitching, but I also found that I ended up with a lot more pitching than I expected, but that was due to, you know, pitchers that I liked that were going really cheap, especially in the auction league. And then for the snake league, the fact that it was pretty deep into the draft and, you know, quality pitchers were still out there, I still ended up with more than I anticipated picking up in the draft, so to speak. But, you know, one of the guys I'm up against right now, I forget which league it is, you know, he was all on board with starting pitching, and now it just, you know, against him, it killed me because he had, like, and I'm not even going to hit that.
Yeah, well, you know, like in the auction league, I got really lucky because I happened to land Kyle Hendricks. You know, I mean, he wasn't a targeted guy. It wasn't anything like that. I just happened to be the guy who landed the last bid on him. And, hey, you know, there you go. It's paying off in, you know, the first week. You know, hopefully it will continue to pay off the entire year. But, you know, we'll have to kind of see how that goes. But, yeah, I wasn't targeting any pitchers or, you know, anything like that. I lucked into a couple guys just throwing out the last bid, and it was just like, oh, okay, I managed to land this guy. Cool. So, you know,
Oh, Travis Darnot is back. I do have to remind you, and Yahoo users, if you use the set your lineup all week, I advise not doing that. I advise doing it manually because I did that earlier this week when the Dodgers were off, and so every Dodger starter, you don't want to sit accidentally Cody Bellinger and Justin Turner. So just keep that in mind.
It's definitely best to go in day by day and do your lineup, especially this early in the season. So
yeah, well, and especially with the Major League Baseball.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just one of those, you know, one of those things.
Just kind of sticking with the fantasy talk, Todd. So I think I'm, you know, there's definitely differences between all the sports, obviously, especially when it comes to playing fantasy. But the one thing I'm knowing now, and I don't know if it's just because it's crunch time, and because I've used that option so much more in hockey and basketball, but you know, do you think that's a bigger issue if you try to select that option to set your lineups for the week, where, you know, baseball is literally 6 days a week, sometimes seven, where the NBA and the NHL, you know, these teams sometimes could play one game a week or maybe even barely two or three, so that, you know, there isn't a whole lot of crossover. And when you do that option, you might have one guy you forgot to update.
So yeah, it's definitely tough, you know, because, you know, and especially with baseball, I mean, you just never know when they're going to give a guy a day off. You know, there's a lot of teams, you know, like I heard the, you know, the White Sox thing was, well, we're going to give Moncada this day off, so he's got two in a row, because they had an off day the next day. You know, now obviously, pretty much, I guess no matter what size your league is, unless it's very small, you've got Yoan Moncada on the roster, and he's probably a starter for somebody. So, you know, you want to kind of look out for things like that. But that's not something that genuinely happens in the NBA or especially the NBA and the NHL. You know, with the NBA, I get it sometimes depending on who you're playing against. But I rarely hear an NHL coach go, yeah, we decided to give him the night off because we're off tomorrow. Yeah, it just doesn't happen. So, yeah, baseball is definitely the most difficult out of all the fantasy sports because it is a daily deal. You know, unless you're in the league like, you know, where Mr. Fantasy and I are, where you set your lineup for the week and that's it, you know, you're not allowed to change it because then obviously you just go in on Sunday, you get your guys rolling and you're good to go, you know, and there's nothing you can do about it, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, if your pitch, your best player goes out and gets hurt on, you know, Sunday after going 0-for-5, well, you're taking that 0-for-5 the rest of the week because you can't change the lineup. So, you know, and that's one of the things I don't like.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you. You know, compared to the two, you know, if you were to get into a money league on your own that's maybe not so expensive, you know, would you go for one that's like the one you're in now, or would you prefer, you know, daily updated?
You know, I would prefer a daily just because that's what I'm into. You know, like the weekly, you know, the weekly's not bad. And I do this, what they call a freeze league every year, where you literally just draft the team and that's it. You know, which would probably be perfect for a lot of the guys we play with because we see how many guys disappear after the draft. So, you know, but there's no money involved in that. That's just kind of a free deal. You know, and obviously there's a lot of luck involved there because not only do you got to avoid injury for the week, you got to avoid injury for the year. But, yeah, you know, I mean, given my choice, I want that daily league where I can go in and, you know, move my lineup around. And, again, if somebody gets hurt, you know, early in the week, I'm not stuck with this guy going, oh, great, well, he went 0-for-5, and now he's going to be 0-for-5 for the week because I can't take him out till next week. So it can get a little frustrating.
Yeah.
You know,
then,
well, that's,
you know,
like,
what,
you know,
is,
you add in. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you another question, so I would let you finish your thought, and I'll get to mine.
Well, you know, like you can add in, like you and I were talking about the Joe Kelly suspension earlier. If somebody has Joe Kelly in their lineup, well, now you're stuck with him until next week because you can't get him out. Where, you know, like in our league, you can take him out and put him on your bench.
Yeah.
because there's no spot for suspended players.
Yeah. Because Yahoo is so moral, it's so into morals. The moral police. You know, one of the things that the comments that I've gotten, you know, from the guys that I work with, when I mentioned I played, you know, fantasy baseball and a year long league that is daily, so to speak. And I just got the, ooh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause we have our fantasy league at work for football, but, it's, done for ESPN and you know me, I just don't know the NFL. So it was a complete waste for me.
I would have.
Basically, I'll just. Yeah, I didn't think about it. It was literally, hey, nice to meet you. You just started yesterday, right? Yeah. You want to join our fantasy league tomorrow? What? that was pretty much it. If we do one this year, I think I'll just give them the money and be like, ah, I can't make the draft. I'll be doing it from home, and then I'll just give you the login.
Oh, that's fun. Oh.
But you know, and I'll let you have the win. But you know, that was not what I was going to say to you. The question I was going to ask you too is the big difference in teams. You know, ours, I believe, is 20. I don't remember if we maxed it at 20 or only got 18 or something. But compared to a much smaller. Oh, awesome. You know, I will say, even though we had some issues getting some people to join at the last minute. You know, we kick out the last five bottom dwellers, especially when they're no-showers, which, whatever. You know, what is the biggest difference between the 20 team and, like, a 12? I forget what you're in. Is it 12 or 14?
Well, this year it's actually only 10 because a lot of the guys didn't want to do it the way they're doing it. What they decided to do, remember, originally
they opted out.
Yeah, they opted out. But, yeah, originally they canceled this league, and then since they pay for the website, they decided they needed to do something. So they came up with this idea where we're doing weekly payouts. So you win the week, and then you start all over. So that's what they came up with this year, and they came up with smaller roster sizes. But the big difference, and you know the big difference here, is the waiver wire. You know, like when you're in a 20-team league, you know, and especially with a situation like this, like I had Gravis Shaw. Now, I knew he was going to be playing third base for the Blue Jays every day. Well, they had to put him on the inactive list. I don't think, let me double check. He wasn't a COVID-19 guy, but he had a family emergency, so he had to leave the team. So now, you know, okay, well, I've got to replace Gravis Shaw. I'm going through this. The best replacement I could find, Dan, through the waiver wires that qualified as a third baseman. All right, you ready for this name? Philip Evans. You know who Philip Evans is, Dan, and who he's playing for?
Miami Marlins?
No, but you're close. He's been playing. He's been getting it back to third base for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So, yeah, right now he is my fill-in at third base with, you know, kind of the menagerie of other guys that I have that still kind of, you know, still kind of fill that position. You know, but that's the league, Dan, where I'm sitting on those extra shortstops. That's the auction league. Somehow I ended up with Javier Baez, Jorge Polanco, and Didi Gregorius. And I think I fooled myself figuring that since Javi played for Joe Madden last year, he would qualify at another position. But he's exclusively just a shortstop this year. You know, they're still second or third in now. You know, luckily I can actually use all three guys. We've got a shortstop spot, an infield spot, and then a utility spot. But, you know, I mean, like, you know, if somebody really liked a player like Jeden Gregorius, you know, for the right price, I would probably move him along, because I think I could get more for him than I could for Polanco. You know, and I know, like, you know, kind of looking at my weakness on this team, first base is really a struggle because I planned on using Hunter Dozier, and right before the season started, he tested positive for COVID-19. So, you know, it's been a little difficult to replace. I thought maybe I would give Jake Bowers a shot because I always liked him when he was with Tampa Bay, but the Indians decided to send him to the minors, so that didn't help me out. So, I ended up my first base position rotating between Mark Kahana of the A's and G-Man Choi of the Rays, who, by the way, did hit a home run right-handed over the weekend, even though he's lefty. So I thought that was interesting, at least. So, yeah, that's, you know, but the team, you know, the team's doing pretty well. I can't complain. It got off to a decent start. So, you know, the nice side about the nice thing about having these guys is it does give you a little room to deal guys, which I think is more effective in a 20-team league than the waiver wire.
Yeah, we definitely have a considerable amount of trades, but I don't know. I feel like it's kind of gone down a little bit, but I've never been able to hit that five trades in a season.
Yeah, well, you know, I think a lot of it gets tough, and I get it, and I'm guilty of it as well. You know, you draft those players, and you draft them for a reason. I mean, you're kind of attached to them. So unless you think you're really getting the better end of the deal, you don't want to move that guy. So, you know, it makes it, you know, it makes it kind of tough. So, but, you know, while we are talking fantasy, there was I saw the football leagues re-upped. So if you're interested in football, again, these are 20-team leagues as well. Email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Let us know if you're interested in playing. I will probably go in over the weekend and, you know, eliminate, like Dan said, we eliminate the guys who don't change their teams during the year. Normally we eliminate five people. Unless it's Dan or I, then we let ourselves stay because even though we're changing our lineup, we're bad like we were this year for hockey, I think it was.
For hockey, I think you and I were the bottom dwellers because we're in a league full of hockey guys. And to be honest, I think I'm in the bottom five for both NFL leagues, or at least one of them.
So, yeah, and, you know, and actually this was the best basketball league I've had. I was actually going to make the playoffs in basketball. And then, you know, they cut it short and we didn't do our playoffs, but you know, I know we're running out of time here, Dan, but speaking of basketball, the NBA starts this tomorrow, officially. The games count tomorrow on a scale of 1 to 10. How excited are you?
75. Oh. Yeah, you know, I would go with a 5. You know, I'm going to be sticking to the Major League Baseball, but, you know, I mean, we'll see how things go.
Yeah, well, I guess we can talk about there's only a couple games.
Sportstimeradio.com.